Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts, add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is something very special. I get to introduce you to not one, not two, but three returning guests. I get to chat today with three people who we've already interviewed here on Million Dollar Decorating, but because of their participation with one of our good friends and media hosts, Aspire Design and Home Magazine, they're back with us today to share their thoughts on the beautiful flowers that are just around the corner as spring makes its way across the country. Aspire Magazine reached out to a group of designers and asked them to talk a little bit about their most beloved spring floral sentiments. We get to talk with them directly today and hear from, first, Mark Cutler from Mark Cutler Design in West Hollywood, California. Following Mark, we'll jump into a conversation with Bonnie Steves from BJS Interiors in New York City. And finally, we get to chat once again with Sasha Beekoff, a delightful New York City-based designer. Sit back, think all things floral and all things beautiful, and enjoy these three distinct conversations about flowers in our home. I want to welcome Mark Cutler back to the show. He's a friend of mine and a friend of the show's. Mark, it's great to have you with us today.
It's always nice to be invited back. Thanks, Jim.
Good to have you. Mark, spring is almost upon us, and it's time to start thinking about flowers. As part of the Aspireside chat, you shared some thoughts earlier, actually in print, on some flowers that are favorites of yours. Talk to us a little bit.
I did. And for those of you who know me, I'm always a fan of the underdog. And my choice in flowers is no different. My favorite flower of all time is the lowly carnation. And I think it's so versatile. I think it's beautiful. And it's unfairly maligned in my eyes.
In your eyes. Okay. I had a client once who got into a great row with their florist, who the husband had hired, because he kept slipping carnations into the arrangement in the house. They almost came to blows over it. It was one of those mommy dearest moments. No more carnations.
No more carnations. Exactly. And see, the thing is, that's the thing with carnations. It's not a plant that works really well. It's certainly not a soloist. Yeah. It's certainly much more of an ensemble. And the more carnations you can have, the stronger it's going to look. And I think that's where people really sort of miss the boat, because they sort of intermingle them among other things. And that's really where it's not doing its best job.
So if I'm hearing you correct, more is more when it comes to carnations,
more,
right?
More is absolutely more. And I think the thing that's so great about it is that it's so versatile. You can use them in really, really modern, contemporary settings, or you can use them in the most traditional settings of all, and it works both ways. And you just treat it in different ways. For instance, in a modern house, I really like to use like a large, flat container and have like this carpet of carnations, and it just gives you this very sort of soft look that's incredibly architectural, but still has that sort of glimmer and luxury of fresh flowers. Whereas in a more traditional setting, creating sort of a globe or a more circular sort of feel in a traditional vase gives you this really sort of lush look. It's almost the feeling you get when you see peonies together, of that sort of lots of frill and lots of color. Just try to resist the urge of putting green dye in, and I think we'll all be happy.
Or any dye for that matter.
Or any dye for that matter, exactly.
Yeah, some lemon yellow, and it's madness that you see out there. Right, I do love the idea, though, that you just described of the carpet, that the square carpet. That really would be quite striking. I've never tried that, so.
And it's once again, it's so super simple because, you know, they come in clusters of three or four flower heads, and so right. You can cut the stem at one thing. And so you get to cluster these pretty easily, especially if you're using a, foam at the bottom. They'll stand. Mm. They last right. for a long time. And they have a scent, although subtle, which I like. So that when that's the danger for me is that when you use a lot of these flowers on that kind of mass, it just becomes this overwhelming sensation, and often not in a good way. Whereas with carnations, it's much, much more subtle than that. It's just more of that fresh green smell, and I think that's what I'm really looking for.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I was just going to ask, do they have a scent? Because I can't ever remember. Okay, well. Truth be told, I can't remember being very close to a carnation, so I will have to do my due diligence.
Due diligence, absolutely.
So a slight scent. And,
yeah, it's very much like a light green sort of plant-like smell. It's not overly floral, which I really like, and I think which works very, very well in contemporary settings. And there's lots of fun things you can do. I mean, they come in every color of the world, in the world, so you can do fantastic ombre effects from light to dark and back again. You can do on a flat, you could do a big checkerboard, or you could do some sort of, even like a, you know, for a more commercial setting, you could do a company logo, you could do a heart. You know, so there's lots of versatility there, and it becomes a very sort of sculptural element, which I really like.
Interesting. Now, for those of our listeners who are gardeners, have you ever introduced carnations into the garden? What are they like to grow and harvest at home?
Ironically, I haven't seen them in a lot of gardens here. I grew up in Australia. My mother had a beautiful sort of English-style garden, and it was always one of those sort of reliable sort of players without being a star. And so, you know, we'd have sort of the taller sort of, you know, the gladioli and things like that in the back, and then sort of in that mid-ground with the ranunculus and whatnot would be the carnations. And my understanding is that they are an annual, so that, you know, they die off in the winter and then come back. And so they're really sort of a great sort of reliable piece to have in there that's just going to always give you that sort of support that you need, but never really be the star position.
Well, you've got to have a lot of support players.
Absolutely.
That's what life's about. We can't all be stars, can we?
Hey, no, move on over.
There you go. There's plenty of room in this spotlight.
Exactly.
Mark Cutler, always a great joy getting to speak with you today.
Jim, thank you
so
much
for your time.
It's always a pleasure. Take care.
Take care.
I'm here today with Bonnie Steeves. Welcome back to the show, Bonnie. It's great to have you back with us. And we are talking about spring flowers today. Tell us what your thoughts are on using spring flowers in the house.
Good morning, James. It's wonderful to be a part of this. Always a pleasure. I love flowers, and I love using different types of flowers, but as a single type of flower in most of the arrangements that I do. I really like the rooms to be the star of my decor, and where I think that the flowers are an opportunity to really enhance and really show some life in the rooms. So my tendency is if I've got a beautiful room full of color, then I will try to bring in a similar color that will just enhance it. So I don't combine flowers, but I will use a single color in my arrangements.
So do you have flower preferences that you tend to go to, or is it really dictated by the color palette of the room?
It tends to be dictated by the color of the room. I do have types of flowers that I love. I love hydrangeas. I love peonies, dahlias, tulips. So I'm not a one-note flower girl, but I definitely tend to use whatever is in season and based on colors themselves.
Wonderful. And do you tend to use specific types of flowers in specific rooms? Or once again, is it really just all about getting that color cohesiveness right?
It's definitely about the color direction of the room. But I do, I like to also go seasonally. Whatever is in season, I will tend to use. And so, and if it's, you know, spring, I love the blues, I love greens, I love whites. If it's the fall and the winter, I love to use hollies, and I like to use roses more in the winter. But it really is kind of, again, dictated by what is happening in each of the rooms.
Got it. So I've noticed a trend, as I've been reading up on flowers, that there seems to be a school of thought that creates, or a school of design that creates very, I'm going to say sculptural, almost rigid configurations of flowers, tight globes or beautiful flat sprays, as opposed to sort of the more relaxed, I would call it an English country look with flower arranging. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I would definitely say that I tend to be a little more sculptural than loose. Although, you know, I don't, it definitely doesn't have to be so rigid that it feels uncomfortable looking at it. But I want it to have an ease to it. But it has a feeling of structure.
Got it. One last question. Talk to us about sort of the supporting characters in flower arranging, the greenery. Do you use it? Do you not? And if you do use it, how do you use it?
I do like to use greenery, and I will use large leaves. A lot of banana leaves with, you know, a single orchid where, you know, it's in a full standing container. And then I love succulents, so I like incorporating succulents into arrangements with, you know, like a glass container with a little bit of the succulent. You know, combined with possibly, again, an orchid, and just keep it very simple and beautiful.
I'm loving the idea of using succulents in a cut flower arrangement. I always think of them as potted plants, either indoors or out. But that really would make a lovely addition to a cut arrangement, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it gives a little bit of a softness. Without and back to that conformity, and it's something that lasts, so that, you know, an orchid will last for weeks as does a succulent. So it definitely has a little bit of a life and a shelf life to it that so you don't have to always come back to you know, that investment of flowers. So it's something that will last, certainly in bathrooms as well, and because you've got so much condensation in bathrooms that the mist works beautifully for them.
Love that idea. Bonnie Steeves, always great to chat with you. Thank you for your thoughts today for the Aspireside chat, and we look forward to a wonderful springtime ahead filled with beautiful flowers. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Again, always a pleasure. Have a great day.
I want to welcome Sasha Beekoff to the show today. Sasha, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us today. We are talking about fresh spring flowers in the home as part of the Aspireside Chat series. Sasha, how do you like to use flowers in the house? What does your vision include?
So I think that the really special thing about spring flowers is the fact that, you know, you can kind of bring the outside world inside into your home. and create almost an indoor-outdoor space just by using flowers. There's two ways I like to use flowers. I live in an apartment, and a lot of times in New York City, we kind of feel deprived of nature over here. So I like to kind of have little bud vases and spread them all over the home. I like to put little bud vases in the bathrooms, the powder rooms, side tables, a lot of unexpected places, which I think is a really nice surprise, especially in the springtime. If you go into someone's home and you see a little bud vase in the powder room, and it's sweet and it's special. And I like to go to the flower market really early and kind of pick out really interesting flowers that will last a long time and that are good quality. And I like to mix it up. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not such a classicist that I'm going to go straight to the white roses. I like to use really pretty, colorful, interesting arrangements. And something I also think is really important for bringing flowers into the home are your vases. And I have a collection of antique glass vases that I think are really fun. And if you know, go on eBay or Etsy or check out some flea markets, you can find some really beautiful old vintage vases that even make the flowers look more beautiful.
Wow, I love that idea, the idea of building a collection of antique or vintage vases. Now, do you focus on a particular type of flower in particular rooms, or is it free game, just what catches your eye?
So it really depends on what my mood is. Sometimes I like to create like Dutch still lifes and revert back towards Dutch paintings and kind of do these, like have these like tangled jasmine branches falling down and all these different wildflowers in a very like lush, big arrangement. And maybe I'll put that like on the center of my dining table, or I'll put that on a console. So you could have like this like big flower moment, or you can kind of take these collections of antique vases and you can line a table up with them, and you have like all these different, maybe some are glass, maybe some are porcelain, maybe some are ceramic, and they're all different heights. And you may not think they all work together, but when you put all these different flowers and you mix and match, it's kind of very interesting on the table together too.
That sounds fascinating and very fresh and appropriate for spring. Now, do you have any tips or tricks on the care of flowers? I know that we all want our investment in fresh-cut flowers to last as long as possible, and I suppose there are limitations. But what do you do to ensure the longevity of the arrangements you make?
So, changing the water every, like, 3 days, trimming the stems, and it really – some flowers are more high maintenance than other flowers. For instance, I'm very into this one, like anemone flowers right now, and they have to be kind of trimmed on the bottom a lot because and a lot of times with these flowers, you need to actually take a lighter and light the bottom on fire a little bit. And, you know, roses kind of last a long time, which is why they're a good go-to. But sure. I kind of find, I kind of like the smaller garden roses. I think that they're like a little Victorian looking. And I think it's really beautiful to have almost like a very soft, antique-y, like violet, dusty rose arrangement too. I think that you can like look at different periods of history and get inspiration for their flowers. I love like wild flowers that kind of look like an English countryside, or you could do like a Victorian garden rose arrangement, or, you know, you can do something more tropical. Something I've been playing around with is pink seagrass.
Pink seagrass.
Yeah, which That's is also really me. Interesting and kind of tropical, but also fun at the same time.
Wow. I'm jotting these ideas down because now I have homework. I have to go and try some of these. Sasha, last question for you. We've been talking about creating arrangements in your home. What's the best floral arrangement that you've ever received as a gift?
The best floral arrangement I've ever received was actually when I did my Holiday House Soho room, which was called Rosé All Day. And it was like this pink champagne, really happy room. And my friend, Chris Hesney, did a pink, tropical, really funky, girly, party vibe Dutch still life arrangement. And it had the most obscure wild flowers. That's like where we use the pink beach grass. And it had like tropical palms and stuff. But the arrangement was classical, even though the flowers weren't. And that to me was the best arrangement I've ever received.
Wow. It sounds magical. It yeah. really does. Which is the point of flowers in our home, to bring in a little bit of magic. Sasha Beekhoff, thank you so much for your time today and your flowery words of wisdom.
Thank you.
Always good to chat with you. Take care and have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I want to say thanks to all three of our designers who've joined us today, Mark Cutler, Bonnie Steves, and Sasha Beekhoff. We appreciate your thoughts and your time for sharing both of them so generously with us. Remember to go over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to all three of our guests' websites so you can learn more about the work that each of them are doing. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.